Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I, Shabua Tov, Melakam Ehud, beautifully good first day here for the podcast, for the Sunday service, the first day service right here. Shalom Chaberim, but the brother there, I think it was like Keith Sleepy Coley of the Silvertones, along with David Solid Gold, the Temple Rockers. They were rehearsing one of the sabbatical greeting tunes, a Hebrew reggae tune right there, Shalom Chaberim, Shalom Chaberim. But the woman was saying it's the sound that the cat makes, the sound that the baby makes too when the baby is gurgling or curgling. Shalom Chaberim, Chaberim, Chaberim. Hear, yes, Shalom, Chaberim, Chaberim, fellows, associates, Chaber, like to be solidarity, that sense of that together sense, Chaberim, fellows, also sometimes translated as friends, Bamarinya, you know, Salam, Guadeno, Chiguad, you know, the squad, the Guadeno, the Chaber, the Chaberim. Right here, right off the Hebrew, yes, I, Hebrew for Rastafari, right here. Some of the basics, we call it baby Hebrew, but baby Hebrew, you know, that's the most important stage right there, you know, starting from ground zero. Yes, I. So right there on the practice, right there, Silvertones, hail up to the Silvertones, also the Ethiopians, hail up to Leonard Spiral Dylan from the Ethiopians for the Hebrew reggae, along with the Temple Rockers, David Solid Gold as well. And here's a tune. And the main verse, the chorus line goes, Shalom Chaverim. Shalom fellows, shalom friends, peace friends. Shalom Chaverim, shalom Chaverim. Right, Lehita wrote, until we see one another, until we like meet again, until we sight seeing one another. Hear the full of full tune right here for the first day, riding up into the first day. Yes, sir. Shalom, Ami, Shalom, Shalom, Shalom to my brothers and sisters, according to that word of prophecy in Hosea chapter 2, just follow up, so we say Shalom, Ami, Ami, yes, greetings, yes, greetings, my people, yes, here on the ear and in the iron, yes, I hit up your social media, invite ones, let them know we're on the ear, share, whether they're here for beer. Yes, I, Rastafari, Discipleship Radio, is on the ear. Shalom, Chaverim, Shalom. I am Tafari, Ras, Iadonis Tafari,
of the line of the tribe of Judah, Yehuda, Moah, and Besa, Machiber. Yes, I. Come. Yes, I. Come make I and I rally around. Yes, I. Jatron, word, sound, power of the King of Kings Christ. Bible, Jah Bible, make I and I study, shoot, I and I selves approve. Shalom, Ami, Shalom, yes, I, Shalom,
yes, I,
brothers,
Shalom,
yes, I,
brothers,
shalom, brothers,
yes, I, brothers.
Like shalom, my brother, shalom, my sister, shalom, shalom. I give you love, I give you peace, shalom, 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 my brother, shalom, my sister, shalom, shalom. I give you love, I give you peace, shalom, shalom. That's minor. You see, sound creates new auras of thought. Give me something in minor chords, lower thirds. Now, you see how that changed the mood? Minor chords are lower thirds. When you lower the third of the chord, it's a minor chord. When you create the sound of a minor chord, it has this gothic sound to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear that gothic sound to it? Gothic chords are minor chords. And when it creates a, like, shalom, my brother, shalom, my sister, shalom, shalom. I give you love, I give you peace, shalom. Shalom, shalom, my brother, shalom, my sister, shalom, shalom. I give you love, I give you peace, shalom, shalom. That's minor.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Yes, and look at T.D. Jakes right there. We caught that, T.D. Jakes on the shalom. Chavarim, shalom, my brother, shalom, my sister, shalom, here. First day, here for the Sunday service. And this is called Shalom Aleichem, peace be upon you all, here.
Shalom Aleichem. Malake ha-shareta malake elyon. Mi malek malke ha-melakim ha-kadosh baruch hu. Peace be upon you all, ministering angels, messengers of the Most High, of the Supreme King of Kings, the Holy One, the Isla One. Blessed be he. Boakem leshalom malake ha shalom malake elyon. Mi melek malake ha melakim ha kadosh baruch hu. Come in peace, messengers of peace. Come in shalom, messengers of shalom, messengers of elyon, of the Most High, of the Supreme King of Kings, the Holy Isla One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He. Baruch Huni, Le Shalom, Malake Ha Shalom, Malake Elyon, Mi Malek Malke Ha Malakim, Ha Kadosh, Baruch Hu. Bless me, bless I with Shalom. Messengers of Shalom, messengers of Elyon, of the Supreme King of Kings, the Isla, the Holy One. Baruch Hu, blessed be He. Tzedkem, Tzedkem le Shalom, Malake ha Shalom, Malake Elyon, Mi Malek Malke ha Malakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May your departure, your exodus, your coming out be in shalom, peace. Messengers of shalom, peace. Messengers of Elyon, the Most High, of the Supreme King of Kings, the Holy One, Baruch Hu. Blessed be He who be who He be. Shalom Aleichem.
In Ethiopian life, the imperial ruler is likened in splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, an exalted power to the lion, 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 in his divine being to the kings of Israel, divine being to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, and at times to God, and at times to God, and at times to God himself, himself.
I'm not the only one.
Yes, 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 yes. Calling to the Most High. Things might not always go according to plan, but in this job plan. And here, 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 for this 30-second sabbatical study, we have Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 32, chapter 32. And we have this book, some points of reference, this one here called Israel in the Plan of God by David Barron. And as we spoke to it on the After the Shabbat, the podcast, the Saturday Night Live After the Shabbat podcast, part one, the national song of Israel, Jehovah's dealing, his dealing with Israel foretold in this sabbatical study, Shabbat Strong. You know, it seemed like, and I just want to say this song, it is a song. It's a song right here for this 53rd sabbatical, and here in the season, looking forward to the 20th of the Gregorian month of September, September 20th to the 21st, the beginning time of tabernacles and ingathering this year right here, here, here. Interesting, some of the themes of the Psalms, still having the meditation, Hillel, Shalom to Sister Rashida, for the Hear My Cry, that Dub Z, I think it's Ariwa Records, I don't know if it's Mad Professor, also on some of the remix there, might be Joshaka as well, to heal up the Rastafari and Levites in the sense of keeping the Levitical, the singers and the players, right, of the music and the temple worship, right, of Jehovah accompanying the priestly, the service. Right here, here, here we have the Brit Chadasha, the Brit, the new covenant, renewed covenant, Brit, the covenant, Chadasha, the Hadish Kidan, or in the later Amharic, the Adis Kidan, the Adis Kidan, the new covenant reading and feeding right here, here, here. So we're going to ride up right here with that, and then to get into a reasonment on the song of Moses and the plan of Jehovah for I and I, both past, present, as well as the futures. So here, 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 at this point of the service right here, here for the Sunday service, I think it's only appropriate, you know, with the 9-9 gathering to ride up with the renewed covenant reading and feeding right here. First things first, we're going to have the bracha, the blessing, right? The blessing before the reading of the new covenant reading and feeding here, here, here. Yes, sir, give ear.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Natan Lanu Moshiach Yeshua Wehabarut Shel Habarit Ha'Hadasha Baruch Ata Adonai Notain Habarit Ha'Hadasha. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who gave to us the Messiah, Jesus, and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Lord, giver of the new covenant.
Kadamawi, kadamawi. Inflatia.
The whole place is due for
Ja, Haile Selassie I, Netzanet.
Ja, Haile Selassie I, Netzanet. Netzanet, freeness, literally directly, Netzanet is freeness, freeness. Liberation, one can say in translation. Ja Rastafari Kedamawi Haile Selassie Netzanet.
Ja Haile Selassie I Netzanet.
Yeah, here, stretching forth the right hand of fellowship to the Chaburim.
The Brit Chadasha Chadis Kidan, renewed covenant reading for RSS number 53, Ha Azinu. Give ear. From the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 14 through chapter 11, verse 12. We begin, B'Shem Ha'ab, with Habin, with Ruach HaKadosh Yahuwah Ahad. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Romans, chapter 10, verse 14, Yod Dalet, verse 15, Tau Wow. Oata, Aik, Yuk Rao, El Asher, Lo, He Aminu Bo, We Aik, Aminu, Bemi, Shelo, Shemao, Et Shemao, We Aik, Yishmao, We Ain, Magid, We Aik, Yagidu, Ki, Im Shlutim, Kakatub, Ma Nau, Ragle, Mibaser, Shalom, Mibaser Tob. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Yahweh, who has believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest to them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Chapter 11. But spiritual Israel is finding salvation. I say then, has Elohim cast away his people? Elohim forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Elohim has not cast away his people that he foreknew. Know ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of Elohim to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. National Israel is judicially blinded. What then? Israel has not obtained that he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, Elohim has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, to this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Elohim forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? The Gentiles warned, for I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them that are my flesh, and might save some of them. Kabor lakalu, kabor ladimtsu, kabor lakhailu, kabor lakermawi, khaile selasi, be Jesus Christos sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power, glory to Abinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, yes I, Rastafari.
We have fulfilled all. Praise be to Mesken, to Mesken, Xiavi, Mesken. Jesus Christus, Jesus Christus, Jesus Christus, Jesus Christus, Jesus Christus.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, O children of Israel? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiop, children of the Ethiop? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord.
And that word right there, from the Brit Chadasha. Very good meditation from Rav Shaul, a.k.a. Apostle to the Gentiles, Brother Paul, Paulos, right there. Here, in connection with the...
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel.
I'm here in line of the tribe of Judah. This is the OBN. So here, Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Ha'azinu, the Ha'azinu, the broaden the ear, the give ear. And right here, a reasonment from this document, Israel and the plan of God. And we call this right here, based on Deuteronomy chapter 32, the song of Moshe, broaden the ear, give ear. Israel, the Israelites, the Ethiopians and the plan of Jah Rastafari. So here, kind of an overview right here, a brief overview from the document, a reasoning here for the Rastafari 3 R's of this sabbatical, for this strong right here, as we're coming to the eve of Tabernacles in gathering, and also the finding of the true cross, the fulfillment day of Tabernacles, the Hag, the Feast, HaSukkot, of the ingathering. But first, here, Ha'azinu, brought in the ear.
Bring into additional companion studies for this 53rd weekly Torah portion, reading and feeding right here, the Nun Gimel, Nun Gimel, 53rd Parsha, weekly Torah portion, reading and feeding on our Rastafari sabbatical studies. And for this Shabbat Strong, we pick up with Deuteronomy XXXII, Deuteronomy, Alamed Beit, chapter 32, Ha'azinu. Now, we was pointing out Israel in the plan of God, the book by David Baron, very, very good recommended reading and study, especially with this all-important psalm and song of Moshe, the song of Moses. This is the chapter for the Sabbath day. So read a chapter a day. Well, this is the chapter for the Shabbat day, for this Shabbat day right here. Shalom, Chabarim, Shabbat Shalom, Senbet Salam, Yeshua Shalom, Yeshua salvation, Yeshua victory. So we have a brief analysis of this psalm based on some of the reading and feedings that we have been gleaning and meditating on from Israel and the Plan of God, a very, very important work by David Baron. So if you can get yourself a copy of that particular work, it will be well worth it, especially here at this 53rd sabbatical study, this Shabbat Strong with Ha'azinu Adimtu. Give ear, broaden the ear, give ear. Ha'azinu ha-shamayim, wa-daberra, and I will speak, wa-daberra, and I will speak, davar, the word. We have this fifth book of Moshe, Devarim. At some point that's Devarim, the Debar, the word. So this work by David Baron, I really like to go through it, you know, you go through it verse by verse, and some places word by word, and it's very interesting as we apply, right, in our hearts and minds to receive this. And for many of the Chabarim, you know, at whatever point in the tride, we'll say keep on triding onward and upward, especially in the season and the reason for the season. Yes, so we have Ha'azinu. And a good portion of this particular book, speaking of Israel, that prince, right, that prince, you can say that wrestler who has power with Elohim, and right, and with man, that prince of Elohim, that prince who wrestled with Elohim, the metaphysical implications of the name Yisrael, Israel, the man who sees the good, Yashar El, the upright of the power, the upright of the good, the true God, Israel. So Israel in the plan of Elohim. And in a particular application, especially in the season, the time, right, this new Hebrew, Hebraic, Ethiopian Hebrew New Year that we are in, Hebraically speaking, 5779, Ethiopically speaking, from the long count to the short, 7,511, the short count, 2011. That in itself right there, recognizing that as we go forward into the 400th year, we would be at the accurate, the right, and exact 400 years for the once lost, now found in this North Country and throughout the countries in the Caribbean, carried beyond the Trans-Ethiopic Ocean slave trade, that enslavement, the Ethiopian, the Ethiopic Ocean. So looking at and in reading and studying this psalm and this sabbatical study and giving ear, as the key words right here says, to hear, give ear, O heavens, and hear, O earth. Give ear, O heavens, and hear, O earth. Give ear, O heavens, I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. So because of the time and the space right here, and also the divine avant grace, I'm going to touch on a few pointers, a few areas that hopefully will be of interest and as well would help to increase one's in their growing in grace and in that knowledge of the King of Kings Christ, Yeshua HaMoshiach, the Bein Elohim Chaim, the Son of the Living Power, that Word, the Word, the Word, the Logos, the Devar, the Bar, made flesh, and to receive that seed, right, to receive that seed of the Word. So we have a brief analysis, and he says right here, this is in the first part of his introduction, Israel and the Plan of God, and like I said, that the majority of this particular book is like devoted to this one chapter here, chapter 32, the Song of Moses. In fact, just a couple of pointers, the part one of his book, Deuteronomy 32, is the focal point. He says right here in part one, the national song of Israel, Jehovah's dealing with Israel foretold. Yahweh's, he who be, who he be's, dealing with his covenant people, with Israel, is foretold. So here, and he has an introduction, he addresses in his introduction, interesting right here, let's just point this out to y'all. In the introduction, he says, did Moses write the song? Because there's many ones and ones who say, well, this song is so sublime, it's so rich in so many aspects and respects that Moses could not write the song. Many of the critics in the Seclorum, the children of the lie, right? They say these sort of things, and David Barron, he addresses that very, very well in the opening introduction section, which is a very good read and also reason on for the Chaburim. This is why we are giving due emphasis to this particular work, because in some of the works that we have, you know, different books and documents and how the Holy Spirit has guided us, we have, look for anything that can be useful even for the particular Torah portion reading and feedings. And what I found to be interesting, and it's also with the Scofield Study Bible, although elsewhere it gives very copious and rich notes and points of reference, is that there wasn't too much really written up, you know, concerning this Parsha and the Song of Moses. I mean, there is stuff and there's stuff out there you can find, and some very interesting things, but nothing quite like David Barron's Israel and the Plan of God. And here at the end of the introduction, he says, as a brief analysis, I'd like to share it, and hopefully ones and ones, you know, can take some notes and apply it to this chapter for the Shabbat day. This is the chapter, basically, the main chapter, the focal point, the Ha'azinu. Ha'azinu, ha'azinu, to give ear. That's the key word, the first words. And he says here, a brief analysis from this not altogether unnecessary digression, he writes, about date and authorship. We return to the scripture itself. Like we said in that first part, did Moshe write this song? He goes into that about the date, the authorship, what different ones say, and disproving it with some very sound and right, yea, and amenable arguments. But then he returns right here at the end of the introduction to the scripture itself, and he writes, and first, let us take a brief glance at the contents as a whole. Let's take a brief glance at the contents. What is contained in Ha'azinu? What is contained in chapter Nun Gimel? Right? When we say chapter, we're saying the Parsha. The Parsha, Parsha Nun Gimel, the 53rd sabbatical reading and feeding. From chapter 32, what is contained? So taking a glance of the contents as a whole, holistically, as a whole. It is not always possible to indicate with certainty, he writes, the divisions and transition points in this sublime song. But as far as I can see, the whole divides itself into six strophes, right? Strophes of unequal length. Strophes. So he has six parts, and reading over it and meditating on it, I say that God, give thanks. Give thanks, David, you know, for this and for this work as we share, you know, with others and recommend them to your labor of love here and just share some highlights. He says he divides the Song of Moses into six strophes, right? Like six, you could say, parts. We see it more as seven. And in a sense, because of his brief analysis and going over it and head resting and taking, you know, the meditation, the meditation moments, we saw the seventh part. And the seventh part, we'll point it out. First of all, let's just go over his six parts of the Song of Moses here from Deuteronomy chapter 32. The first part, after the exordium, which is verses 1 and 2, the inspired singer sets forth the theme in verses 3 to 6. Vis-a-vis, what is the theme? The theme is the absolute perfection of Jehovah in his character. Christ in his kingly character, in his character and all his ways, and the perversity and the ingratitude of his people. And we'll say, both his people, are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? So that's the first part right there. All right. Now, in the second, he says, the second part, so the first part would be, he labels it as verses 1 to 6. Then the second part, the second strophe, is the theme. He said this theme is illustrated by what Yahuwah, what Jehovah did for his people vis-a-vis A, in their election and high calling, namely verses 7 to 9, and B, what he did for them in the wilderness, namely verses 10 to 12, and C, what he did for them in the land, which is verses 13 and 14. Thirdly, the third strophe. In the third strophe, or strophe, the theme, especially the second part, which is the perversity and apostasy, or the falling away of Israel. And we apply this particularly to the Hebrew, or the so-called N-word, is illustrated by what Israel did against Elohim, and applying the prophecy, what Israel, Ethiopia, did against his divine majesty. Israel then, and we say Ethiopia now, against Elohim. And this is verses 15 to 18. This is the third strophe. In the fourth strophe, it sets forth the fearful and the dreadful judgments which would come upon Israel in consequence of their apostasy, namely verses 19 to 25. The fifth strophe, it sings of mercy, of loving kindness, and of judgment, Elohim's wrath against Amor, against Hizbul, against his people, will not burn forever, nor will he suffer them to be utterly destroyed. From the pleadings in this section, Jah's unceasing yearning for his disobedient, for his gainsaying people, may be inferred in verses 26 to 33. Now, the last strophe he has as verses 34 to 43, and this is what he calls the apocalyptic, right? The apocalypse, from the coin of Greek word, the unveiling, right? The unveiling in character. And it sings of the last solemn event of the present age vis-a-vis Jah's final interposition on behalf of Amon, on the behalf of Hizbul, on the behalf of his people, on behalf of Jah's people. The judgments to be poured out on the enemies of Elohim, of Ha-Elohim, and of Yisrael. So judgment is to be poured out on the enemies of Jah and Yisrael, all culminating in the great climax to the whole. Quote, rejoice, O ye, O y'all goyim, O your nations. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries and will make expiation for his land, for his people. Now, I mentioned that David Barron, in his work and introduction here in Israel in the Plan of God, in his brief analysis at the end of the first chapter on the introduction, he says that, taking a brief glance at the contents, he says that it's not always possible to indicate with certainty the divisions and transition points in this sublime song. And that is true. Where are the divisions? Where are the transitions from one part to the next? But as far as he could see and what he laid out right here, the whole psalm, the Song of Moses, for this parsha, this 53rd sabbatical study and sabbatical strong, the sabbatical strong, into six parts of unequal length. And we receive that. Yet in the study, the small, still voice brought out the seventh part. So he has six parts, and it was right there in the first part. The first part. In the first strophe of the six strophes that David Barron lays out for the Song of Moses, Ha'azinu. In the first part, he says, after the exordium, the exhortation, like the build-up, right? The exhorting, the build-up, the exordium. And the exordium is verses 1 and 2. He says, the inspired singer sets forth the theme in verses 3 to 6. So from his point of view, he has six strophes. The first one is verses 1 to 6. We say, actually, we see seven. We could look at it the way it is within the sabbatical synagogue Torah, within the Chumash, looking at the aliyahs, you know, the seven aliyahs, we could look at it like that. But if we follow this thematically, the first two verses, the exordium, of course one will say, oh, but the other parts have more verses. It's not... It's not the more verses, it's what is said in those two verses. What is said in those two verses, and he even brings it out more within his work where he gets into the second chapter of Israel and the Plan of God in the exposition. In the exposition, he has, and I shared some of this on the TJIF, so thank Jah, it's Friday, just previous, near the full of full of the podcast and the broadcast, from the 21st, 9/21, 2018 in this season, in this time. But he lays it out right here. We had went through it, and it was the first two verses, the exposition, and then he goes to the glorious name, which really brings forward the third verse. And the third verse, he gives a good treatment of the so much within so few, but yet powerful words concerning the name, concerning Hathor, the rock, and the rock connection with the name, and Moshe proclaiming the name. And at the first two verses, in and of themselves, yes, is a exordium, or like an exhortation, a build, but it's an important build. And just to rehearse just a portion of this right here, the give ear, the ha'azinu, give ear ye heavens, ha'shamayim, and I will speak, wa'adabera, I will speak. And let the earth, where tishma'a ha'aretz, imreifi, and let the earth hear the imreifi, the words of my fi, my pi, my pi, my mouth, my doctrine. You see, that's the key word right there, likhi, likhi, likhi. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech, imrati, my speech shall distill as the dew. And he goes into this in brief, Likul, but it's talua, tinish gin talak, no. He goes into the heavens and the earth had already again and again been called by Moses in this book as witness of Jah's righteous dealing with Israel and of the sorrows and calamities which would come upon them in consequence of their apostasy or their falling away. Let's keep in mind that when we're speaking in this present time, this dispensation concerning Israel, we're speaking and we should be speaking and seeking that fulfillment of the word and hear what the prophets say, Amos 9 and 7, are ye not as the children of Ethiopian to me, O children of Israel? So Israel first up as that example, but in these latter days and times, how it's applicable to the other people of that Al-Kidan, of that word agreement, of that berit, of that covenant. Thus in the fourth chapter, he said, in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, Moshe said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that when y'all shall have turned away from Jah into idolatry, y'all shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereto y'all go over Jordan to possess it. That's from Deuteronomy 4 and 26. And in chapter 30 and 19 of Deuteronomy, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. So also in chapter 31, 28, we read, assemble to me, I assemble to I all the elders of your tribes, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to witness against them. In like manner does the prophet Yeshaya, Isaiah, echoing the words of Moshe, begin his inspired lamentation against Yisrael in the first chapter of his prophecy, where he says, hear, O heavens, Hashemayim, and give ear, O earth, Ha'aretz, for Yahuwah, Jehovah, hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now, the word for my doctrine in the second verse, so we see the first two verses as the first strophe, the exordium, right? And then following what David Baron has laid out in his work, the other six strophes. So we basically take the first strophe, right, that he had with verses, I think it was 1-6, but pointing out the exordium of verses 1 and 2 and going through the first words, the Hebrew first words, and looking at it and seeing within those first two verses the beginning. Right? And you have to get those two verses, the beginning. It's like the groundation right there. Right? Because in the second verse, he says, ya erof, ka matar likahi, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. And the Chumash, it says something interesting here, as the rain, as the dew. The Torah, the instruction, direction, is life to Yisrael, to the man who sees El, the true good, the true God. Yashar El, the upright of El, as rain is to the world. But whereas rain is troublesome to wayfarers, rain is a trouble, is troublesome to wayfarers and others, Moshe, he adds, as the dew. Why? Well, Rashi says, and others, and we somewhat agree with this, because the dew is acceptable to all. Just as rain and dew do not fall in the effect of fertilizing the soil, so praise Moshe, may his words find receptive minds among Yisrael. In other words, rain and dew do not fail, Slika, do not fail in their effect of fertilizing the soil. So is the prayer of Moshe, that his words may find receptive minds, or we say hearts and minds among Yisrael. That this is his prayer, but the rain and the dew seems to have fallen short based on the history that this psalm prophesies the end from the beginning. So he uses the word likachi. Likachi is an interesting word. Is that from lacha? Laka? Let's get this word right here. Likachi. Alright, likhi, my, it's translated as my doctrine, alright, my doctrine. Now, there's other words that could have been used for doctrine, so we should zoom in, and David Byron did this here as well, zoom in on what likhi is all about. What is likachi, right? My doctrine. From the age 39-48, likachi from lekach, right? Likachi is learning, teaching, insight. Likachi is instruction as object. Likachi is teaching as the thing taught. Likachi from lakach is the power, the teaching power. Likachi, teaching power, is persuasiveness, persuasion. And Abuna Negusana has so said, our father, our king, Abinu Melkenu, that civilization is persuasion. Persuasion over force, lekach. So when he says likachi, David Byron writes, the word for my doctrine, the second verse, is likachi. Literally, that which I receive. This is how he brings it out. This is very significant. It indicates that what he is about to declare is not his own, but is first communicated to him from above. On this, there's a learned writer that has well observed, everything that comes down from the Father of Lights is handed on by one heavenly messenger, one heavenly messenger, angel, to another angel, messenger, until it falls or it reaches upon the heart of man in just that form in which he can best receive it. The Bein Elohim, Chaim, the Son of the Living Power, the Son of God, says, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me, of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Memphis Kedush. He says, he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it, seen to you, while the apostles teaching, quote, words which the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, teacheth. So this connection right here with lekach, the root of likachi. Now, he says receive, something received, right? Something that is received mentally, instruction, whether on the part of the teacher or the hearer, also in an active, right? There's an active, there is footnote active and sinister sense, inveiglement. I got to look up that word, inveiglement, inveiglement. Once again, inveiglement. Doctrine, simply put, learning. One could say fear, speech, but this word, lakah, the 839, 48, that's connected with likahi, translated as my doctrine, has a root in H3947. So let's go there. Lakah. So we have lekah and lakah. Lakah or lakah as a verb is to take. Lakah is to take. Lakah is to get. Got it? Lakach is to fetch, lay hold of. Lakach is to seize, to receive in that sense of to seize, lay hold of. Lakach is to acquire. Lakach is to buy, to bring, marry, take a wife, snatch, take away. Lakach, lakach. Nuance from lekach. So as a primitive Hebraic root, and in its verbal form, lakach, lakach, means to take in the widest variety of apps of application, sometimes translated as accept, bring, buy, carry away, draw, fetch, get, enfold, in a sense of many, mingle, place, receive, reserve, seize, send for, take. But the idea of take, very prominent, take away, taking or to take up, also to use, also to win. So it's interesting is to receive, but the sense of it is not passive. When one hears the word receive, it's like, whoa, wait for it. You're going to receive it. While the receive here is like, you get it, you got it, my doctrine, this teaching, right, that which he has received, right, that which he has also laid hold of and taken, right, and taken away, you know, and take hold of, right? The word can be used in the sense of to take hold of oneself as well, right? To take hold of, to lay hold on. As we said within the first instance, to take, to get, you get it, to fetch, to lay hold of, to seize. In that sense of to receive, in that sense of to acquire, also used in some context to buy, to bring, to marry, to take a wife, to snatch, to take away, to take in hand, to take in, to carry along, to take from, to take out of, to take, to carry away, to take to or for a person, to procure, to get, take possession of, to select, to choose, to take in marriage, to receive in that context, to accept, to take up, to take upon, to put upon, to fetch, to take, to lead, to conduct, to take, to capture, to seize, to take, to carry off, to take, also in the context, to take vengeance. But this is the context here, and the overarching point is that it is to receive that which I have received, but that which I have received because I was not just passive, I was active in the receptivity. That's the sense. As, for example, if it rains on the earth and the soil is too hard and compacted, the water will just wash off over the earth. It won't go in. See, so what has to be done in preparing the earth during the, you know, the agricultural, proper agricultural times, that the earth has to be broken up, right? It has to be broken up. You have to turn over the clods of the land, and you have to plow it up. You have to prepare it. Right, that ground, the groundation. You have to prepare it so that when the rains and the dew, the earth can be in that receptive way that she can take, she can receive. Your soul got to be able to take and receive. So there's a fitness in the Divrei Elohim, the oracles of Elohim, the word of Elohim, being likened to rain and dew, because like the refreshing showers, it also comes from above to revive and to fructify, to cause fruit, fructify the heart of those who are ready to receive it, not just in a passive sense, but in an active sense, to receive it, right? So the second verse stands in closest relation to the third, right? And David Barron said he thought that this is to be rendered as an invocation. This here, these opening verses, the exposition, we agree, the exordium, the first two verses. And this is why we say that it would be the opening first part and the rest that follows, following along the six other parts, would be the six parts of the Song of Moses, beginning with this invocation, almost an invitation. Invocation, invoca, it's invoca, 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 invoice, invoicing an invitation, an invite. Let my doctrine drop as the rain and my speech distill as the dew. For it is the name of Jehovah that I proclaim. This now glides into the third verse, for it is the name, for I will proclaim the name of the Yahweh. It is the glorious theme which inspires him with longing desire and with a certain enabling to be eloquent, So here, just an overview of the 53rd parsha, the Nun Gimel in the Hebrew, the 53rd parsha, Ha'azinu. Fifth book of Moshe, of Moses. Moses, his farewell exhortation, prophecy, telling the end from the beginning. And here we are at the end. So let's recall as it was in the beginning.
The home place is too
Here with the link with the teaching, the likhi, the teaching, what must be received, received and seized and taken, right here, and the link right here with the name. So we're going to touch on some of the three R's, Rastafari's three R's, the reading, reasoning, and rising right here, the sabbatical table talk right here. But first this.
For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name... shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts, 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 saith the Lord of hosts.
Keep us this teaching up in majesty, for we no one, no devil, philosophy, feel it in the one drop.
Yes, I. Also right here, we're coming to the eve of the feast, the seventh. And the final and the seven appointed feasts and festivals and appointments, the Mo'edei Yahuwah, the Mo'edim, the appointments of Jehovah. Here we're coming to the seventh, and the seventh is Sukkot, or in the English anglicized as Sukkot, the Hebrew Sukkot from Sukkah. Sukkah is a booth. Sukkah is a hut. Sukkah is translated as a tabernacle. So tabernacles is also a season where the bracha and the prayer is also for rain, which is very interesting with the ha'azinu and with the doctrine, with the word descending like rain and coming up like dew. So here, majek for shek, a little selah tune right here, tune called send down the rain. So Sukkot is also a water festival, calling for that water, both the phi cycle water and the metaphy cycle, metaphysical water.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an iditation. Give thanks. Mike. Mike, check. All right. So right here, send down the rain with check for check. We have the Hag, like Haggai, the name Haggai, one of the prophets' name, Haggai. Haggai, my feast, my festival. So we have Hag, the Hag, the feast, the festival of tabernacles, of booths, of huts, of in gathering right here. So here we have Gerald Macy, one reference right here, interesting reference, interesting read. We share a little of this right here. From I think it's is it Natural Genesis, Book of the Beginnings, I think in the Book of the Beginnings. And here says he says, right, and we're gonna just upgrade where we're able to, but he says it was the literalizing of the myth, the mythos, the ancient story, the ancient proverbs, parables, so to speak, that misled the 70, the LXXers or the Septuagint, those Hebrew scholars that translated from the older the Hebrew Torah and scrolls into the Koine, the Coptic, into the what was called the Koine Greek. Now, Koine Greek, we emphasize the Koine nature of it because it has more Afro-Shemitic roots in it, and it's different than later Greek. But anyway, it might all be Greek right now, but just hear this right here. So they say, he says, Gerald Macy says, it was the literalizing of the myth, the mythos. So there can be good myths, mythos, and there can be bad ones or foolish ones. Oh, that word inveiglement or something like that, it means like to persuade, even by flattery. Got to find the reference there in the audio. And that was from the 2018 time, 399th year. And so here we're about two, going on 3 years past the 400 years, 2019, and then the retrograde, reverse engineering it to the 1619 to 2019. Here coming up, right here on the 2022. But here, the Ethiopian New Year, as well as the Hebrew, the Judeo-Christian New Year, the Lunar Solar New Year, Ezekiel references it, according to I and I reading and study, when he mentioned about the wheel and the wheel. But here, Gerald Macy bringing out the water festival to come to the eve of the in-gathering. So in-gathering this year from the 20th of September to September 2021 to the, just stating it for the record and for the archives and the history, I and I story right here, 2021, September 20th to 21st to September 27th. Now, September 27th on the solar calendar, we have the finding of the true cross. And so what is the true cross? In the Hebrew, we refer to that mark, I think it's in the prophet Ezekiel 2, where he speaks about the Hatawe in the ancient Hebrew, Afro-Semitic Hebrew, modern Hebrew, they'll say Hatav, or Ha'aleif, and Hatav, or Ha'aleif Hatav. That is the Hebrew of what one's called the Alpha and the Omega, right, in the languages, the linguistics. So the literalizing of the myths, the mythos, we have the myth story, the mystery, the literalizing of the mythos that misled the 70 and their correction of a supposed error in Zechariah. The writer threatened the dwellers in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, in Gibbet, in Kemet, so to speak, that they should have no rain unless they came up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So the 70, the Septuagint, the LXXers, Septuagint translators, knowing the dearth of rain in Mitzrayim in Egypt, altered this, some say, right? Gerald Macy is saying this here. But getting to the point, Shema, Ha'azinu. The Egypt signified was the place of the waters and the waterer Shaddai in the north. Now, it's interesting what Gerald Macy brings out in his works, but Here, the next line is the epicenter of the reference here. The Feast of Tabernacles was a water festival. Now, when I read and I was studying this here from Gerald Macy's works, and also Gerald Macy gives more of the southern focus. You know, you hear people say, oh, yeah, and everything was good, but then it just went north. But actually, for I and I, you know, like it went north to say like, no, they say went south. So they say went south. We've already kind of begun to rewrite that in our own minds. So we said north right there. But usually they'll say like south is bad and north is good. But actually in the scripture, it kind of reverses that because we have the Zaphon, the northern hemisphere, right? And some say the fall kind of emanated, so to speak, from there. But be that as it is, when we read about the Feast of Tabernacles was a water festival, we was like, that's interesting. At that time, you know, we were not cognizant, you know, of that. And so the first thing we went into research and lo and behold, the Feast of Tabernacles is a water festival. There are special prayers there for the rains and the due season, right? And looking ahead, right, as we are coming out of season, when we say out of season, in season, the first 7 moons, 7 months, we have the seven feasts, seven festivals of Jehovah, right? And then after Sukkot Tabernacles, we don't have any more commanded feasts or festivals. There are other memorials, there's other feasts and celebrations, but they're not of the seven, Check? So we pray for the rains because we're looking forward to roughly the April, May time for the beginning of the ecclesiastical, the churchical, the holy year, where we have Pesach, Passover in the month, Hebrew month, the Yehudi month known as Abib. Abib, some say Aviv, but we see the link there Afro-Semitically with Abebeh. Abebeh means to grow. Abebah means like a flower, in that sense, a bud. Abebeh is more like the bud. And an Abebah like a flower, like new flower, Adis Abebah, right? And then we have Abib. Abib in the Hebrew referring to the barley harvest. The barley is one of the first of the crops, right, in that region to come up. So that's one connection there, the special prayers, right, for water that go forward until we come into the holy season again. And we see the holy season where we have the seven appointments to keep with Jehovah. So the Feast of Tabernacles of Sukkot was a water festival. G. Macy goes on to write, and God bless his soul, because he really pointed out in his Egyptology or going into Egypt, he pointed out Africa and Ethiopia, inner Africa, he likes to say, in Ethiopia as a root even of those mysteries, so to speak, right? The waterer or the water of life, he says here, the water of life had been given of old from the Kedem, he says, by the feminine deity, the suckler. Now, some might refer to that and say the goddess, but more correctly, Hebraically, by that feminine aspect from the beginning, Bereshi. It's not Barashi. Some might say that because they still learning, you know, the ancient Hebrew, but Bereshi. Reshi is a beginning, but the word is feminine, Reshi. The connection there, as scripture explains scripture, is in Shlomo HaMelech's Mishalim. It's in the Mishlei Shlomo, the Proverbs, Parables of Solomon, where bringing out wisdom to the sons, to the Talmudim, to the disciples, wisdom being the principal thing, she being the principal thing, she from the beginning. We have Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, get wisdom, get chokmah. In the Hebrew, chokmah, somebody enunciates chokmah. Right, get wisdom, the Hebrew Sophia, Bamarinyan and Amharic Tibet, get wisdom, right? Because wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principle. For all you're getting, get wisdom. Wisdom is the principle. The word principle there in the Hebrew is Reshit. So there, right, is the divine feminine, even from the beginning, Hebraically. It is wisdom. She is wisdom. So that line of Genesis, the first line right there, and here the season is also a time of creation. So it's a judgment season, first up the judgment season, and then in the rebooting, so to speak, of the sabbatical studies, we come into the creation, the iration at this time of the year. The X marks the spot, the finding of the true cross, in gathering, tabernacles, even the waters, the feminine element. So we would reread this right here based on I Hebraic knowledge and based on the small still voice of Abba, that the water of life had been given of old from the Kedem, from the ancient time, by that feminine, the feminine principle of wisdom. So that first line, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shemayim ve-et ha-aret. In the beginning, translator says, God created the heaven and the earth. More better reading, Bereshit, since Reshit is Chokmah. Since the beginning, the head or the female head is Chokmah, is wisdom. So in Chokmah, in wisdom, Bereshit bara, he, singular, he, male, he created Elohim. Yes, Elohim is a plural, some say plural of majesty, but it's the Hebrew Trinity, HaShelush HaKadosh Kedush Selassie. The triple male, the Gnostics refer to as the triple male right there. So they say, well, where is the woman in Trinity? Well, not the woman is the mother in the earthly natural Trinity, but in the beginning, it was in Chokmah, it was in wisdom that he, the Holy Trinity, the Hebrew Trinity, he in the singularity created the heavens and the earth. And this is why Wisma goes on in Proverbs chapter 8, which in the Ethiopic liturgy and the true church and the professing church liturgy, there is a prayer, right, in the liturgy, the Kedase, it's called the prayer, if we're correct, the prayer of the fraction. There's a prayer of the fraction, the fractal, the fraction, sacred geometry, the prayer of the fraction. And the prayer of the fraction, it basically brings out this chapter looking for I and I sword. Okay, right here. I think we have I and I sword. We want to get the scripture. We'll bring it up if we don't bring it up right now. But it's chapter 8. It's chapter 8 of Proverbs chapter 8. And it's important that we address this now at this time in this season. Why? Because it is the iration, and a very important theme for the Rastafari is creation, is iration. This is why it is correct when properly interpreted and understood what His Majesty Kedemawi Haile Selassie says, that man is not emanated from a deity. Man is not emanated. Emanation exists. Emanation happens in good senses and in bad senses. Emanation, a good example of emanation is the heat that emanates from a fire, or the light that emanates from a fire. But man, humanity, the human being, was created in His image, Kedush Selassie, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the One, in His image and after His likeness. And this is why it says male and female, He created them. Male and female, He created them. It's right there in the beginning. So here we have the Hebrew right here. But let's just go to this part here just to share this word right here, what wisdom says of herself. Here in chapter 8 of Proverbs, of the Mashal, Proverbs, parables, Mishalim, here chapter 8, verse 22. The section is 22 to 31. Wisdom, Chokmah, the Hebrew Sophia's role at the creation. Check out when you can the Peace Be Sophia. Yes, here it says, Yahuwah, Kanani, Reishit, Darko, Kedem, Nif, Alayo, Me'az. Jehovah, He who be, who He be, made me, made I, as the beginning, as the what? As the Reishit, B'Reishit. In Reishit, in His wisdom, in Chokmah, the beginning of His way, Yahuwah, Kanani, Kana, from the Kana, a very interesting word, Kana. Kana means to acquire. Kana means to create as a verb. And then we have the Kana, right, is a reed, right? And the Kana basam, basam, the Kana balsam, the cannabis, even in the scripture. But here we have Yahuwah Kanani Reshit Darko, Darko, of his Derek, of his Derek. Right? And here, Lafayette, Gullah Geechee, some family members, they love that name, Derek there, right? Well, here we have Darko, Darko, his way, Kedem, the Kedem, right? The Kedem, the first or the ancient, the Kedem, Mif Alayo, some Yehudi might say Mif Alav, right? But Kedem, Mif Alayo, May Az, of old. Right here, here, here. And she goes on to say, Benglazing in English, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. Now, it's interesting here when she says the beginning, she uses now the male form to talk about her origin, May Rosh. Rosh in the Hebrew, synonymous with the is Ethiopic, Ris, Ris, right? Some of our Yemenis, you know, companion, they like to say, well, Rais, Mr. Rais, right? But that's the head, and in the Amharic we have Ras. So here in the Hebrew, May Rosh. So she says that she is the Reishit, the beginning of his way. We have Reishit, the Hebrew first words in Wisma. And she goes on to say, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, from the Rosh, from the Ras, from the head, the male head, May Rosh, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. Interesting here. It's a good meditation, a good medi. What does she mean by being brought forth, right? It says, I was brought forth. When there was no depths, no deeps, I was brought forth. So what's interesting is that the first line of Bereshit or Genesis, it speaks about, it gives the overview. In a beginning or in a beginning, it's not really in the beginning. It would have to be Barashit, but it's actually Bereshit. In a beginning or in beginning, in wisdom. Not in a wisdom, but in wisdom, in his wisdom. So wisdom here is testifying. When there was no depths, then we hear about the deeps, the spirit, the irid upon the deeps. I was brought forth, so she was already there. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth. Uh-oh. So she says, Wisma, the feminine principle, is saying, while as yet he, even he who he be, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, HaShilush, HaKadosh, Kedush Selase, the Hebrew Trinity, the Holy Trinity. Here she says, while as yet he had not made the earth nor the fields, nor the beginning of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. She says, Sham, Ani. Interesting, the word for heavens is Shamayim, right? And the word for Zaya, when she says, I was there in the Hebrew, she says, Sham, Ani, Sham, Zaya, Ani, there I, Sham, Ani. Now we have Shamayim, Shamayim. Mayim means waters. So the next connection, waters, the Mayim are the waters. So we have Sham and Mayim as one word, Shamayim, which is often translated as the heaven, the waters, right? She says, Shamani, I was there. When he set a circle upon the face of the deep, right? The face of the deep, you know, the earthly plane. The earth is not a planet. It's a plane. A planet means a wandering star. Those are the stars that go backward in the heavens. Right? When he made firm the skies above, when the fountains of the deep showed their might, and planet is a wandering star. Earth is firm until Jah shake it up. When he gave to the sea his decree, then the waters, that the waters that the water should not transgress his commandment or go over Ya'abru from Abar. It's the very same root as Hebrew, but will not cross over. Right? The water should not transgress his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as a nursling. He says, then she was by him as a nursing. She says, wa ehye, ehye, ahya, wa ehye, ehye, I am, I be. She became. She says, then I became near to him as a nursling, and I was daily all delight, playing always before him, playing in his habitable earth, because there's parts of the earth that are not really for human beings habitable, you know. And my delights are with the sons of men. Now, therefore, ye children, hearken to I, for happy are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, shema'u, musar, hear instruction and be wise. We hakamu, and be wise, be hakam. As a son of King Solomon, the Queen of Sheba, Ibn Hakim, and refuse it not, Happy is a man that hearkeneth to I, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and obtaineth favor of Jehovah, of he who be, who he be, his divine majesty. But he that miss me, interesting, right? This word miss me can also be brought out as sinneth against me. The RV, the Revised Version, KJV says, but he that sinneth against me. In the Hebrew, we chot'i, right? Sinneth, misseth me. Chomes. Nafsho, he that misses me. You know, like nowadays, we say, you miss me with that. He that miss me. That's what sin really means, like miss the mark, to fall short. We'choti, chomeis, nafsho. He that misses me, wrongeth his own soul, nafsho. Which is interesting because the soul also is feminine according to the Afro-Semitic linguistics. Nafsho, his soul is she. So, he that misseth me, chokmah, she, wisma, is saying, wrongeth his own, nafesh, his own soul, nafsho. All they that hate me, that hate I, love death, call me sanai, ahabu mavet, all that hate I, love death. It's interesting right here. Wisma's testimony. Now, we're just bringing this out, looking at the time on the board right here. We got 12 minutes right here for the grace period right here. So going over Gerald Macy, right? Gerald Macy's document concerning the Feast of Tabernacles being a water festival. The water of life had been given of old in many places, that old or ancient is the Kedem, by the feminine deity, or more correctly, by Chokmah, by Wisma, the suckler, who was now dispensed by the male God, he says, and we'll say the triple male or the Hebrew Trinity, the power, right, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he who be, who he be, the one. So yes, he is the power. So we say Elohim, in translation with the other, the no gods, they are gods, plural. But with he who he be, he is the powers. He, in the singularity, be the powers. But when people fell off, they started to look at each particular attribute as a separate divinity. It is noticeable that the Hebrew Shemot, the names for rain, some say are related to even the Egyptian names, the Mitzrayim names of inundation. So we have these names like Moreh, Moreh, which is an interesting word. Moreh is rain, right? That Moreh, the moor, right? The inundation, right? The rain, also that ma, the waters, the tear, right, the libation, the rain, the or, the aru, the river, right, the akhem, right, a whelming wave of water as of an inundation. Now, this right here, I think it's on page 190, around 191, right? I think this is the first. I'm looking at the PDF right here. But right after that, right after Joe Macy said that there, when we had came across the Feast of Tabernacles as being a water festival, and then Judaically, Hebraically, seeing that many of the prayers, the blessings, and the requests are for rain, right, in their proper season at the proper time. Not just praying for rain, but praying for rain in due season. Right after that paragraph there, he quotes this. Are ye not as the children of the Ethiopian, O children of Israel, of Yisrael, saith the Lord, have not I brought Israel out of the land of Egypt? So that's the quote right there from Amos 9 and 7. He goes on to say, the days come, saith Jeremiah, Ermias, Jeremiah, that it shall no more be said that Jehovah brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but Jehovah brought them from the land of the north. So it's interesting, great diaspora of the once lost, now found of the Beta Israel here in this north country in the Caribbean and in this particular region. This Egypt of Hebrew scriptures, this is according to Macy, was primarily the celestial kept that always remained in the north, the birthplace of the beginning and the starting point for the migration found in all the oldest mythologies, always connected with the number seven. And heal up Sasha LaPasha, so the eyes post about the number seven. And I'm looking at this here and seeing the number seven, so this is to heal the eye up, right? Number seven, in connection with the number seven, as the seven provinces of the Dived. You can get into that. He goes into a lot of related, you know, testimonies. Yes, I, Rastafari, but here, just to make that link there, have to get the sword for a moment, get Zephaniah, because Zephaniah, the last chapter, is what he was referring to, that he said that the 70, the Septuagint writers, they tried to correct, I guess, something, you know, in the Hebrew, but actually it was maybe based on a misunderstanding right there. We'll get into that a little bit more. But to the waters here in the season, suns and dark.
Great, 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 great
So here, let's bring out that quote right here, brothers and sisters. Here we got 6 minutes. So hopefully ones can hear this now or catch it in the early Iowas, catch it later. But here, let's go to Zechariah. Zakar as a noun in the Hebrew means male. And it's interesting because the command is three times in the year shall all the males of Israel, because the men are obliged to fulfill especially the positive, command. We'll touch on that, the positive commands, negative commands. But here in Zechariah, the male of Jah as a verb, Zakar means to remember, like Zikor, Yom HaShabbat, to remember the Sabbath day. Here we have chapter 14. And just going through the chapter up to the part that verse 16, summary of events at the return of Adonai in glory, Armageddon, Har Megiddo actually means Har means mountain. Megiddo means mountain of assembly, and the League of Nations. The determination to gather all nations, that revelation of the King of Kings, Kadamawi Haile Selassie. We see that gathering in Geneva, Switzerland, in Geneva, Switzerland. Right, the Armageddon and that gathering of the nations, even for United Gentiles, United Heathen, the United Nations, and the League of Heathen, the League of Gentiles, League of Nations. Yes, brethren, we need to get some memes on that. Did you know the League of Nations, the League of Heathen, the League of Gentiles, just to, so that ones can be able to have that, gift of tongues and see the oneness of the word of truth. The second part of this chapter, chapter 14, verse 4, the visible return in glory and the physical changes in Palestine. Here we're reading from the superscription here, breaking down the parts in the chapter according to the content and theme. So we also see much happen in that land of Palestine, even of Jerusalem, also connected with Kadamawi Haile Selassie. In verse 8, the river of the sanctuary, the river of the holy place, the river of the sanctuary. Then in verse 9, the kingdom, government, the Malkut in the Hebrew, the Mengist, Mengistu, not the man, but the essence, the kingdom, the government set up on the earth. And this is connected with Zechariah 14 and 9, and Jehovah shall be king over all the earth, earth's rightful ruler. In that day shall there be one, he who be who he be, and his name Shemo one. Kedemawi Haile Selassie HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem. The first power of the Trinity, the Hebrew Trinity. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the Holy One. So here, zooming forward to verse 16, this section, the worship, and the spirituality. So we hear many people talking about spirituality, and that can be good. Of course, they are evil spirits, so there can be spirituality that's no good, that's low tov, that's not good, melkam idelem. But here we're speaking of the worship and the spirituality, the eriticality of the kingdom of the government. Verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations and nationalities that came against Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, and we have the Adesiti to Jerusalem, even Lalibela, New Jerusalem. So there, linking with Ethiopia, holy Ethiopia of the prophecy. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left, the match has been struck in Ethiopia, but the fire, the flames will burn Europe. Again, we got the 90-second mark, y'all. Yes, I calling, 515-602-9761, 515-602-9761. Don't receive it right now, then receive it on the replay. Yes, I share, share, share. Yes, I repost it. But here, again, the worship and spirituality of the government of the kingdom. And it shall come to pass, wahaya, that everyone that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem, shall even go up, shall aliyah, from shana to shana, from year to year, to worship HaMelech, to worship the king, Yahweh Tzebaot, Jehovah Tzebaot, he who be, who he be of hosts of armies. When we come across the Jehovah of hosts, Jehovah of armies, or of the Tzebaot, it reminds I and I of the power of the Trinity, right? And to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, boom. There we go. To keep what? The Feast of Tabernacles, Chag HaSukkot. And it shall be that whoso will not come up, whoever will not aliyah up, whoever will not go up, go up, go up, whoever will not aliyah up, of all the families of the earth to Yerushalayim, to Jerusalem, even the Adesiti to Yerushalayim, to worship HaMelech, to worship the king, the Negus, even Negus Neges, Yahuwah Tzebaot, Jehovah of Tzebaot, even up on them shall be no rain. So here, 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 there shall be no what? No rain. So once again, the connection of the Feast of Tabernacles here in the scripture and the water festival and the emphasis on water and rain aspect, and also the link, the connection with the sabbatical, with the Torah reading and feeding, the 53rd, Deuteronomy chapter 32, and that theme of rain and the doctrine and the teaching. And if the family of Mitzrayim of Egypt go not up, if they don't aliyah up, if they don't go up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith Jehovah will smite the heathen, the nation, the Gentiles, the international community that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Huts. The Feast of Huts. I like that, that bringing out of the translation, Sukkah, hut, because it's basically something that is kind of hastily built and even with different varieties of, you could say, of green, you know, of branches, of boughs and branches. It's like the hut. It's a hut. And seeing Ethiopia in that rhema, that revelation, and witnessing, beholding the King of Kings, we can see the connection there, New Jerusalem, La Libella. But once again, and if the family of Mitzrayim, of Gibbet, go not up and come not, that have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith Jehovah will smite, will hit the nations, the international community that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Mitzrayim. Now, we have to recognize in the prophetics, Mitzrayim, not just look at old Egypt done got what it got, but we're looking at their pseudo so-called Illuminati, right? The Illuminati, the gaslight, the gaslighting, and their flea masonry and all of that, and their international system, their nation-state system, right? This shall be the punishment of Mitzrayim and the punishment of all nations, all the goyim, whether black or white, judgment non-partial, that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and ingathering. Verse 20. So here the connection with Mezkel, the finding of the true cross, is very, very significant as well. In that day shall there be up on the bells of the horses, Kedisinah le'gziavia, holiness, idleness, to the sustainer, to he who be, his divine majesty. And the pots of Jehovah's house, of Jehovah's bait, shall be like the bowls before HaMizbeach, before the altar, the Meseuiah. Verse 21, yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Yehuda, Judah,
shall be islandness, holiness, set apartness to Yahuwah Tzabaoth, to Jehovah of hosts of armies. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house, the bait of Yahuwah Tzabaoth, of Jehovah of hosts. And that last verse right there, very interesting, the whole Canaanite talk. Some are saying that, well, the Israelites are really Canaanite, or they'll say, oh, the Hebrew language is Canaanite, so forth and so on. What they forget is the first, the Guz, the Ethiopic. They forget the origin. But as far as the Canaanite here, this is brought out, translated as the merchant, the merchant. So the Canaanite, the link with the merchant, the metaphysical Bible dictionary, to get into a little bit more of that. In the true prophetic sense of the Rastafari revelation, this is like that tomb by Brahma Selassie, the light of the Trinity, and the whalers, right? And the whalers, you know, O pirate, yes, they rabbi, O pirate, the merchant, the lowlander. But if you want to know the genetics of the Canaanite coming down to latter day, the Indo-European nations, right, are the descendants of the Canaanites. That is that link. Yes, Canaan coming out of Ham. And we already know that scientifically that the so-called white gene is recessive. It's linked to the black gene. And we all come to the beginning, you know, to that beginning, in the beginning. So here. Just to ride up with this right here, we're in the grace period of the podcast, get into that a little bit more. But ones and ones, I would advise ones who are more curious or have some reasonment, do a basic on the metaphysical Bible dictionary, as it gives both the phi cycle, you know, the basic meaning of the Hebrew and the relation of the Hebrew meaning, who ever had that name or where it occurs in the scripture, and then also the metaphysical implication. So in a basic sense, on a metaphysical level, it's those in the lowland, and the valley, right? That valley of decision, the lowland, opposite of Zion Heights and the higher heights, the higher. Yes, hi. So right here, we had left off, look a bit more on this right here, see if you touch on what we can touch on, in that book, Israel and the Plan of Jah, bringing out that opening part. And we left off with a very good question to pick up on right here. And here, once again, the third question, the basic question for the 30, slicker, for chapter 32, but for the 53rd, manna, angel's bread. Why does Moshe say, let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, in Deuteronomy 32:2? The sages, the ancient sages, explain this verse as a prayer. This verse is a prayer. So in the sense of let my, I and I bring it out as make I, make I. You know, Rastaman, the elders, had taught I that because, you know, when you look up the word let, do the etymology on let. Let is an interesting word. In most places in the scripture, it has a sense of like may or make in that sense. Like, may my teaching, in that sense. But in some places like Thessalonians, when it says he who lets it, let there has the other sense of the English. And the other sense of the English is prevent. So he that letteth will let. He that preventeth will prevent. That's the English language for you. Even English has that duality. So to make I and I word sound clear when I'm vocalizing the English, I and I prefer to say make my teaching or may my teaching drop as the rain, my speech still as the dew. So the may sense or the make sense. So the sages explain this verse as a prayer. May the words of I and I mouth and I detation, that sense there. Moshe asks that the effect of his words would be as the rain and the dew. Notice that the Hebrew root for the word my teaching, Lik-hi is from lakah, right, which means to take. the Torah, HaTorah, John's direction, instruction, especially in the revelation, the teaching of his majesty, Kedemawi Haile Selassie, must be taken in by the heart, heart to cup, in order for fruit, that good fruit to be produced. Another connection with the season that we're coming into and the season that we're in right here, is the latter harvest. It's a harvest season. It's a latter harvest, right? It's a latter harvest. So we have the natural harvest, right? And the tithes and the fine cycle being brought to the place, right? Of the name of Jah Grace. And then we also have the irithical harvest, as we have in the Brit Chadasha and the Renewed Covenant, the New Testament. We have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Irit, as his Spirit testified of I and I Spirit, that we are the B'nai Elohim, that we are the sons of the power. So it's today, the day is a day and a time, a season of the harvest. Here, Don Carlos. Yeah.
Clean out the bad seeds, yeah, and separate them from the good God. The day a harvest is near, whoa, 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 whoa. Jah shall clean out the bad seeds, yeah, and separate them from the good God. The day a harvest is near, whoa, 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 whoa. Woe be unto those that say of Israel, and they are not. Woe be unto those that say they do, and they are not. Cause they shall be cast away, like the chaff at the wind, driven away, I say. Oh yeah, oh well. Jah shall clean out the bad weeds, yeah, and separate them from the good. Cause the day your father is near, whoa, 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 whoa. Jah shall clean out the bad weeds, yeah, and separate them from the good. Cause the day your father is near.
The first and the last, here we're at the last harvest right here, in the season that usually is called Sukkot or Tabernacle. The first we began with the shofar, the ram's horn for Yom Teruah, a.k.a. Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days of awe, the Yamim Noraim, 10 days of dread, the 10 days of Teshuvah, repentance, to the Yom HaKippurim, the Day of the Atonement. 5 days after that, we come forward here to Ha Sukkot, to the Tabernacles Feast of the Ingathering, Feast of Booth, Feast of Huts. So Ha'azinim, the give ear, the song right here. Now here we get like 44 basic Q&As, basic questions, but because it's little, it's only a chapter, but when we really study to show I and I self-approve, you know, we can kind of, as the Rashiman say, sata on any one of the verses and just go into a reasoning and a medi. And I would encourage ones and ones to do so for themselves, to know the truth for themselves, for I and I selves. But here, the fourth of the 44, not to get into all of it right now, hopefully in the days to come and even through the season, but here, because Ha'azino, next thing about Ha'azino, the song of Moses. We need more of the Rastafari, Levitical brothers and sisters, more singers and players of instrument. May Jah bless the eye, keep the eye, encourage the eye, give the eye relics and good dubs, you know, to go in some, you know, Rhema tunes right now, Rastafari Rhema tunes on these words here, because I and I, Jah people, must know that song of Moses, the song of the Lamb. According to Revelation, Revelation reveals the truth. Here, the fourth, right? Why do the sages, the ancient Hebrew sages, and even many of the modern Yehudi Jews, whether black or white or otherwise, hesitate before saying the name of Ha'elohim, of Ha'elohim, of the power? Now, we have Deuteronomy chapter 32 right here, the Ha'azino, the song of Moses, here at the third verse. Moses said that's a name. In the Hebrew, we say the Hashem. In the Amharic, we say Simu, or for emphasis, Simun, right? Simu, but in the Hebrew, the Hashem, the name of Yahuwah, of Yahweh, is proclaimed. Greatness must be ascribed to Ha'el, to Ha'el, to the power, the true good, the true God. And this means that we, that I and I, must examine I and I hearts, heartically, to be sure that reverence, that respect and awe, and even dread, are within I and I, dread in the Rastafari sense, are within I and I, unless we take the name, the Hashem, in vain, or regard it as profane or common. In other words, this is what we do in the Isla. We do this in the Isla. We do this on the holy day. We seek not to do this on the other days. This here is Isla. This place is Isla. I use the example of, for, say, mother and father, grandma or grandpa, there might be a seat in the house or something that is for them. Even the little children, you know, you say, hey, leave that. That's daddy's seat. You know, that's mommy's seat, right? That's the elder's seat. That's Eliyahu's seat. That's Elijah's seat. Don't play in it, right? That is set apart. So profane really means in the English, outside the temple, outside the holy place, or bring into the more nowadays reference what is common, right? The central idea, right? The central idea is what Hebraically is known as kavana, right? Or some will say kavana, right? Or kavana, right? Kavuna is concentration, is intent. Right? Intent, concentration, intent to honor Yahweh, to honor he who be who he be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem. Ibn Ezra, he stated that Moses addressed this when he said this in verse 3, he addressed this to the heavens and the earth as part of his prayer, as part of his tefillah, his prayer right here. Now we have Psalm 69 as a note, a point of reference, Psalm 69, verse 34. So why do and did the sages and I should take a moment, hesitate, check before saying the Hashem, right, of Hailahim, for saying the name of he who be who he be. And this applies even when we're saying that revealed name, even the revealed name of he who be who he be. Who does he be? He be the first power of the Trinity. Who the Trinity be? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the one. He who be who he be. So right here, chapter 32, verse 3. Because I will publish, great was the company of them that did what? That publish, right? I will publish. The idea of publish is the gospel. The idea of the gospel, the good news. In a sense, it can mean to gossip, but not in the negative sense, but as people gossip about nonsense, we will gossip or publish, right? Publicize the name, the Hashem of he who be who he be. It says, ascribe your greatness to Eloheinu, to Ayinai power, to Amlakat Chin, to Ayinai source. Just bringing that out. 5. Let's just touch on a few of this, maybe go up to 7 right here. Why does Moshe call God the rock? So here we like to go into the, because sometimes the word God is referring to El, which is the Hebraic of Chayim, right? Ha-El, right? Or the power. And sometimes to Elohim, the powers. So right here, going to the Hebrew here, right? Ki kol derakayo mishpat. Slika, that's the second verse, first verse. Hatzor tamim olo. Hatzor tamim pa'olo, or some dialects of the ancient Hebrew, you know, like north, south, east, west. Fa'alo, or fa'olo, his walk. Hatzor tamim pa'olo. And it's interesting because there's different type of words for different kinds of work. Right, but here it says the rock, his walk, his work, pa'olo, is perfect, is tamim. Remember the word tamim, perfect, is used Levitically in the sense of an offering. So as John created, say, an animal having one head and four legs, so forth and so on, right, two ears, two eyes, you know, then when one offers something that is perfect, it's the way Jah intended it. So if that offering had, say, three legs or five legs, two heads, three eyes or something like that, it is not the way Jah intended it. It's not from that pa'olo. It's not from his walk. So it's not tamim because his work is tamim. Also, the shorter form, tam is what Jacob is called. He's called a plain man dwelling in tents. Tents, like sukkah in that sense, tents, right? Tamim or tam. Also Noah is said to be perfect in his generations. Tam, which is a singular sense, tamim, was actually like perfection. So bringing out the Hebrew sense, ha, the sor, tamim, the rock, tamim. Perfections, pa'olo, perfections, his work. So his work is perfections. Ki kol derakayo mishpat, for all his ways. Ki for call all derakayo, his ways, modern Hebrew, derakav, right? Ki kol derakayo mishpat. Is judgment or justice. What does King James say right here? King James says, notice in the King James, he is. The he is part, it's italicized. Because in the Hebrew, all it says is the rock. Ha-tzor. Ha-the-sor. The-sor. Ha-tzor. The saw the rock, his walk, perfect, or more better, translates to the English, perfections, tami, perfections, for all his ways are judgment. Here the King James brings it out a little bit better, you know, judgment, because tzedek is more of like justice, and mishpat from shafat, mishpat, like Jehoshaphat, mishpat is judgment, the pronunciation of sentence. It says a God of truth, KJV says a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. El, emuna, with aim, awel. El, emuna, with aim, awel. Modern Hebrew, el, emuna, ve'en, avel. El, from Ayele in the older language found in the Ethiopic and in the Amharic, Ayele means to be stronger, to prevail, to be overpowered. Ayele is one form of that ancient root, Ayele, contracted as Ayele as a verb, and then Ayele as a noun, and then we have Chayele, also contracted as Chayele. Power. El Emuna, from the Amen, like we say Amen. Emuna, and power, almighty El of faithfulness. Emuna also can be of faith in that sense, of the faith, the true faith, right? Also linking with the idea of truth. El Emuna with and Ain. Ain means without. Ain. Awel, modern Hebrew, ain avel, right, without avel, interesting, avel. Also in the translation in the KJV, there's this word is linked as like evel, not evil, but it's basically iniquity, without iniquity. So the last part right here, it says, just and right is he. We're just here on verse 4. Just and right he. Just and right he. Tzadik. Right? Tzadik, when referring to a person. Tzedek, to the abstract principle of like justice. Tzadik with yashar. Yashar, like the book of some say, Jasher, Yashar, upright with Yashar, who, and upright he, even he who be, we be, Yashar. And that's also one of the possible etymologies in the name Yisrael, Yashar El, the upright of the Almighty, the upright of the power. So, why does Moses call El Hatzor? Why does he call Ha'el, the Almighty, Ha'el Hatzor? Why does he call him the rock? Well, rock, it's a metaphor. In the Amharic, we say Semina work. Semina work is like wax and gold, a metaphor, right? It's a metaphor emphasizing Ha'elahim, the powers, permanence, and strength. Now, the Rambam explains it to mean that Ha'el is the bedrock of our existence, right? And the Rastafari rabbi would say on top of that, based on the small, still voice of Abba, bedrock is good, but we would say the groundation, that bedrock of the groundation of I and I existence. Now, the ancient teaching that is known by the operative word Talmud. Now, Talmud, there's some teachings good, right? There's some teachings bad. There's some teachings clean and some teachings obscene. But the teaching, the word for teaching is one and the same, right? Just a check right there because some go off when they hear Talmud, but it's an operative word in Hebrew. Now, the Berakot on blessing, it notes that Tzor, or sometime in the translation, they would translate for Z, right? For the Tzor or Zor. Right, the Zor, it shares the same root as the Hebraic word for artist. The Hebrew word for artist is Yotzer, the Yotir is an artist. And therefore, this term, it identifies Ha'el, Ha'el, the power of the Almighty, as the ultimate, supernal, transcendental artist of reality. Indeed, the verb yatsar, you have the verb yatsar, right? The verb yatsar, it means to fashion. And what it says that, and he, what it says about man formed, right? The forming of man, fashioning of man, from the root of yatsar, it means to fashion or to shape. We have this in Bereshith in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Interestingly enough, right, the first occurrence of the word rock in the Hebrew scriptures, the first occurrence of the word rock, it's found in Shemot or Exodus. It's found in Exodus where Moshe was instructed to strike the rock to produce water, according to Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. When Moshe, when he later upped up, when he missed the mark, when he fell short, when he forfeited, by striking the rock, instead of regarding it as the living rock, referring to Moshiach, he lost access, right? He lost access to the promised land. Now, Rabbi Saul, or the apostle to the Gentiles, as in the reading, right? He says, because he's an apostle to the nations, he magnifies office. Our Hebrew brother Shaul can do that. The apostle Paul, later, he identified the rock as Yeshua HaNotri, as Jesus of Nazareth, Yenazaretu, Iesus, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Now, note this also, Haverim, Talmudim. Note this also that the phrase, a faithful El Emunah, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, may be rendered, right, in the translation, the same meaning as the meaning in the Hebrew, but it can be rendered or interpreted as the El, the power of faith, the power of faith, the almighty of faith, the true good, the true God of faith. So El Emunah, some translators say a faithful God, but it also can be translated as God of faith, God of the true faith. Looking at the time right here, let's touch on the 6 and 7 right here for the season, right? How are Amo Yisrael, Yisrael Hizb in the Hebrew and Amharic, how are the people Amo of Yisrael, how are the Hizbu, the people of Israel, described in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 5. Here KJV says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crook-hearted generation. In the Hebrew translation, the Chumash right here, it says, is corruption his? No. His children is the blemish, a generation crooked and perverse. I think the Hebrew really brings it out even much more better. Is corruption his? No. His children is the blemish, is the blot. So here, they are described as blemished. Now, here's what's interesting. The word Tom, right, singular, plain, or perfect, as with Jacob. He was a plain man, a perfect man, and with Noah, he was perfect in his generations. The offerings are called tamim, to be like tamim in a sense of without any blemish, not having more than Jah created with, not having less. The opposite word for blemish is something having a mum, having a blemish. So here they are described as blemished sons. And the key here is focuses more on the mandem all right, more so, to whom more is given, more is required. They are blemished sons. They are blemished sons, a perverse and twisted, crooked, a twisted generation. Know that some of the sages, they interpret the grammar, the Hebrew grammar of this verse, the dictuk of the Ibrit, to mean that, quote, no corruption can be ascribed to him. So one verse here in the Hebrew that has one translation, and from reading the Hebrew and the Holy Spirit giving us understanding of the Hebrew, of the Yehudit, the Ibrit, we say, yeah, that's true, but the next level is true, that no corruption can be ascribed to him. And the rhema of that is concerning even the children of the Ethiopians, that no corruption can be ascribed to Kadamawi Haile Selassie, vis-a-vis the godless and the creeping coup against his divine majesty. That is, even though Haile's justice may force him to allow destruction, Jah's justice might force him, forcing Jah's hand, to allow, right, permissively, downstruction, deconstruction. He is not the author of Ra. Now, Ra, with that hard-sounded iron, Ra, or Ra-Ra. He's not the author of evil. He's not the author of huts, of hurts, of that which is ill or unkind. The Zohar, another important work, reason, as we grow, it interprets this verse here as no destruction is caused to him by the sons on the wicked. The only blemish they have is their own. From Job chapter 35, also a reference to Job chapter 35, verse 6. No destruction is caused to him by the sons on the ratchet. The only blemish they have is their own. The Hebrew sages of the bygone ages, they further note that this verse indicates that Hailahim, that the power, the true good, the true God, relates to us, I and I, as his children, especially to Yisrael. There's often this belief that everybody's a child of God. That's not really Hebraically. That's not really Judaically. And remember what Yeshua, I and I, Rabbi Robeno Yeshua said to Samaritan woman, y'all worship that which you don't know. Ignorance. We know we worship salvation of the Yehudi. Now, in the New Covenant sense, we do see a grace that includes others, but there is, you know, the at-one-ment, right? At one man's tau, at one man's mark, at one man's cross. And those, whether of the Yehudi or of the nations, according to his sovereignty, he can call whoever children he wants to. But he has first called the children of Israel. And then through that grace and the Brit Chadasha, others, because he is sovereign. We just need to seek our own adoption. You know what I'm saying? Even when we are his children, but get this, his children still, the verse says that we're his children still, even when we are perverse and twisted. Now, that's nothing to get joyful over, really. Because to whom more is given, more is required. Question seven, all right? Why did Moshe call the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, the children of Israel, Am Nabal Velo Hakam. Modern Hebrew, Am Nabal Velo Hakam. Why does he call them a foolish and unwise people? A people, Nabal, foolish. Like the fool in the psalmist says, the fool have said in his heart. Right? Not intellectual deficiency. Not so much intellectual deficiency, but a kind of a moral deficiency. Right? In light of the moral theocracy of his divine majesty. Nabal. With and lo, no hakam, and not wise. This description is linked to the preceding verse. So here in verse here in verse 6, which these first six verses is the first aliyah for the Shabbat Ha'azinu. Do y'all thus like this requite Jehovah, O foolish people and wise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? That's the KJV right there. Here is more or less the same right here, but to read it, do y'all thus requite Jehovah, foolish people and wise? Is not he thy father that hath begotten thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? So the foolish people and wise, the word Nabal, foolish, Nabal, it denotes a person who repays his benefactor with evil. So in one sense, Nabal is a fool, but not one who is like intellectual, like didn't go to a fancy school or get a lot of books. Now, it's not that kind of a fool in that sense. It's one who has like a moral, something moral, is deficient according to the moral theocracy. Therefore, that Nabal, that fool-ish person, right, is a person who repays his benefactor, somebody who is beneficial, who was good, who was a benefit to them, with rah-rah, with evil, with hurt, with something that's unkind. In breaking Jah's Torah, his direction, instruction, and that covenant agreement, Israel acted ungratefully, forgetting all the wonderful deeds that Hailahim, the power, had performed for them. They also proved to be lo hakam, not wise, because they did not realize that it was not Ha'el, the true good, the true God, the power, but it was them who would suffer in consequence to their akari. Is he not thy father? This is the key right here, even for that old Hebraic Judaic prayer, Abinu Shabbat Shamayi. Our father, Abinu, Shabbat Shemayim, Abuna, Zebes Samayat, in the goodness, our father who art in heaven, Abatachin Hoy, Besamayim, Mitanor, is he not thy Abba? This is stated because they had said that they were not his children. We have ones and ones today, in spite of all the signs and more signs that only Jabuk, right, with even half of a wise mind can see, they'll say, no, they are not Jah children. So this is the connection with the previous, have I not gotten thee? This here historically can be connected with the deliverance from the Mitzrayim, from the bondage in the mitzvahs on the grid, in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim and Gibbet and Kemet. So here. This description linked to the preceding verse and the corrupt behavior, the misbehavior of Jah people. So here we have that Rhema word of Amos 9 and 7. Are ye not as the children of Ethiopians unto me? And remember, there was that nation. Jah says that the kingdom will be taken, right? Yeshua said the kingdom will be taken from Israel and given to a nation. And we can see the Ethiopian Hebrew connection right here. Study the teaching, Hebraically, the Talmud, right, of the Kibra Neges. It's written in that teaching sense with Mishnah, with all the other elements, by Judaically, Hebraically, that links that right there. So this applies like a double-edged sword, right, to both those once covenant-keeping children of the Ethiopians and to I and I, the Beta Israel, especially in this North Country, North America, the Americas, the Caribbean, and to the four corners, the cross, all across this earthly plane. So the people, it's the people who who have forgotten Ha'el, the power, their father, and Terida and the blameless Iratar, the one, Ahadu Amlak, Yahuwah Echad, the one who made and established it. They have become foolish, right? Nabal, ungrateful. Moshe returns to this theme in this same Ha'azino Song of Moses in the 21st verse. Let's go there right here. 21st verse. They have moved me to jealousy, to zealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy, zealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Wow. Chant. All right. That's what I want to say. Well, they're Jewish. All right. So don't be, I get the what you call them, but Ish is man. Ish means man. Right. But it's interesting for those who can receive this, right? When we recognize who we be and we see other people, whether they are in a true tense or a pretense, saying they are Jews, right? So forth and so on. But don't focus on that. Focus on your relationship. Now, what's interesting here, is this particular verse here. Isn't this the verse that is in Romans chapter 10, verse 19, and Romans, the epistle to the Romans, 11:11? Wow, the 1:1:1. All right, the 11:11. There we go, 11:11. Epistle to the Romans, 11:11, verse 21. Now, how interesting that Rab Shaul, a.k.a. the Apostle Paul, would quote this as he himself was wrestling with some elements from his people, I and I people then, who had felt that he was like a traitor. You know, he was down with them and against the Nazarenes, but now he fall off his horse, get knocked off his horse, what have you. Now he turns around and he takes all these gems, right? Like Yeshua said to the Pharisees, you'll have the keys of the kingdom. And he begins now to deliver them, even in the epistles, these Hebraic, Judaic gems, right? So here we have it in the Chumash here. They have roused me to jealousy with a no God, Be-lo-el, in not, literally, in not, be, in, lo, no, el, in not, el, in what is not higher, what is not the power, with a no God. They have provoked me with their vanities. Another interesting note that the Sukkot tabernacles, the 7-8 days of tabernacles, one of the meditations, the scripts that is meditated on and iterated on in this season is the preacher, Ha Kohelet, a.k.a. known as Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. All right, this is the meditation in I and I Sukkah, in I and I Booth, Hut, Tabernacle. Iritically speaking, they have provoked me with their vanities, and I will rouse them to jealousy with a no people. Because they provoke me below El, I will rouse them to jealousy below Am, with a people who are not a people. I will provoke them with a vile nation. Can't. But here in the Hebrew, Begoy Nabal, no God, no power, something that is not a power. Here was very interesting. I think it was in the reading about Baal, Baal, Ayanai, Haber, Ayasin, and reading the, Romans chapter 10, verses 14. To Romans chapter 11, verse 12. Let's see, 10 and 14. Yeah. That includes both of these quotes, both of the quotes that Rav Shaul, that Paul quotes in the New Covenant sense. in the New Covenant sense, there's these two quotes right here, here, here. There was one that was about they had bowed to Baal, to Baal, Baal. Now, Baal is a word in Hebrew that in its idolatrous sense, it refers to the below El, below Elohim, the no gods of the nations of the Philistines and some of the Canaanites. That's where you look up on the internet, you look up Baal, Baal, and you'll see this figure of a person. Then they'll have another statue, and they'll say, oh, this is El. No, that is what those foolish people did to the one true El, the one true Higher, the one true power, right? But the word Baal basically means husband. So they took a word, right, that was in the common language, Baal, and they called their god or deity or idolatry Baal. But really, it was below El. It was below El, almost like below El. It was not up to El. It was below El. It was no El. It was no God below Elohim, something that is not a power. And a no people, a people who are no people, below Am. We're called Amo Yisrael, his people, Yisrael. This is a reference to the first construction of the temple, the Hekal, by the Chaldeans, of whom it is said, even in Yeshaya, Isaiah 23 and 13, behold, the land of the Chaldeans, the Chaldeans. Some say the Chaldeans, but the Chaldeans. This is the people that was not. So even we have in the scripts, this was a people that was not. The Chaldeans had no national status, but Ha'el, Hayah, the true good, the true God, he promoted them. He bigged them up. He promoted them to be his instrument. This now reminds us of Revelation 17:17, where it says that Ha'elohim had put it into their hearts to give their kingdoms to the beast until the words of Ha'elohim be fulfilled. And seeing the role of Gormawi Negus Neges with the League of the Gentiles, the League of Nations, and the United Gentiles, the United Nations, and that word in Zephaniah chapter 3, where his determination was to gather all those nations, right, to gather them. And here in the season, it's about a gathering, right? So no people is a people who are not mine, a vile nation, a foolish nation, a reference to the second. So when it says a no people, that's referring to the first temple, the temple of Shlomo, HaMelech, Solomon's temple being destroyed, and then that second temple destruction, circa vis-a-vis 70 AD, by the descendants of Esau, by the descendants of Esau, Hebraically, Judaically, Rome is Esau. And then in the Israelites of Ethiopia, we could say the Talmud, the teaching, the Kevra Neges, the Queen of Sheba, and all your son Menelik, it likens, right, the Rome, right, the king of Rome, and then we have the king of Tobia of Ethiopia, right there. But the descendants of Esau refers to Rome, Red Esau, Red Rome, described in Obadiah, the second verse, as greatly despised because of all the despicable things he does. So here, looking at the time right here, brothers and sisters, looking at the time right here as we're riding up right here. Here we are at the first day, right? The eighth day when we're in the, like, for example, we have the eighth day, the 7 days of Sukkot, then there's the eighth day. But then in the term of the Shavuot, the eighth day brings us to the first day, right? That resurrection day, the first day called Sunday. Right here, an eighth question. What does Moshe seek the people, I and I, Jah, people to remember and to ponder? Here, pointing to Deuteronomy 32, verses 7 and 8. What does Jah seek through Moses, Jah, people to remember and ponder? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will shew thee thy elders, and they will tell. So even the true role of the fathers, right, to be able to answer those questions and show the sons and their youth and the children, right, and the elders to tell, to narrate the cipher. Verse 8, when the Most High, when Elyon divided to the nations their inheritance. Once again, hail up to Sister Rashida with the Psalm 61, Hear My Cry, because in her chorus, she focuses on inheritance. Inheritance is about that heritage, even the divine heritage. When Elyon, the Most High Elyon, when he divided to the nation, to all the nationalities, whether black or white or Asian or tall or short or otherwise, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, the sons of Adam, Adam, Aleph, first, Dam, blood, Adam, he set the bounds of Ha'am, the people, according to the number of the B'nai Yisrael. He set the bounds. This is why the end of the world system, the end of the time of the nations, the Gentiles, because they have broken the bounds. That's why we, Jah people, right, still seek I and I nation, I and I portion. Jah already had, Elyon already had divided to each one thing. And there was already that promised land for the B'nai Yisrael. For Jehovah's portion is Amo, his people. Ya'akov, Jacob, is the lot of his inheritance. So right here, to answer the question here, what does Moses seek the people to remember and ponder? Moshe, Rabbeinu, he sought Ha'am then and in every age and I and I in this time and dispensation. Jah people to remember that Jah administers retribution in previous generations for the sins, the ukkeries, the fornication, the crown, the king, the FUCKs, right, and the ukkers, right, of the people. For example, he destroyed the world with the great flood in Noah, in Noah's Iowa, in Noah's time. Later, he scattered the families of the earth for the ukkery at the tower at Shinar, Babel. Ha'el Ha'il divided the people into 70 separate nations, 70 separate nations, equaling the number of Ya'akov, Jacob's offspring, who had descended into Mitzrayim. And it's something very interesting here. I don't have time to elaborate on this right now, but we bring it to 72. Right, bring it up to 72. Right, we have Yisrael, which is separate, is his portion. And then, as His Majesty said, no longer will this country be called Abyssinia, but Ethiopia, Tovia. Right, so up to the 72 right there. So that's what Moses, in part, sought I and I to remember, to think on right there. Yes, I. Ask your father, ask your elders, to those who know the teaching of His Majesty. And if they have these titles and know not the teaching of His Majesty, tell them to get to know it, to take the teaching, right? Because that's the role, responsibility of the fathers and the elders, Yisrael's wise men. Moshe commanded I and I to consult the sages, the elders. We may fulfill their directives despite the absence of direct statements found right in the pages of Torah. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, at this particular Iowa right here, going into the first day, the Sunday, the first day service, chant Psalm 24, first day, here, we're going to ride up and out with the El Shaddai. Yes, I, Ras, Teferi, El Shaddai, right? El Shaddai. Yes, I, and I, all sufficient supply. Right here is Iwan, Heal up, Brother Iwan. God bless the eye, keep the eye, cause his face, his grace is shining on the eye and I and I. And give I and I Yeshua. Shalom. Shalom, Habarim. Shalom, Shavua Tov. Melkam Ehud. Yes, I beautifully good seven. Looking forward to the feast of the ingathering and the finding of the true cross in the innermost of the innocent. Yes, I. Rastafari.
Only my real life class, yeah, with the jaw, Rastafari. A winner is naturally. I won a boo house and a tame. It's my time enough. A time get to you with the shine enough. So welcome to my world. A world full of experiences and realities. I mean to teach and preach to both the poor and rich. I mean to inform, educate and entertain as well. But before that, let's acknowledge the presence of the Almighty. Gracious. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Olio, Na Adonai, El Shuei, Shou, Shou, the day. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kokam, Na Adonai, we will praise and lift. Gladia. Through your power and through your blood, through your teachings and through your word, me have no doubt that you are my Lord. So I will praise and worship Yahweh. Through your teachings and through your book, you shall one of a blessing right on me. In this worldwide world, there's no one like you. So I will never, never, never replace you. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Adonai. It's to angels still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El can come down, oh none. We will praise and lift you, man. El Shaddai. You stay with me. True was my hustle. My Lord is my savior. True was my struggle. He is my armor. In my battle, he made me conquer, so we gave him the mantle. King of kings, Lord of lords, stripe of Judah and the conquer of Lion. Bonani Maja, Bonazi Ago, Yebusele, Moko Beni Samako. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Olion Na Adonai. There's two angels still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kakam Na Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Open up my eyes to see your work, them. Open up my ears to hear your voice, them. Not forgetting my nose for the sense of smell. Open up my lips so that I can tell them. Give me more strength to do your work. Strength in my heart to worry of faith. Give me more life to witness the blessed day. Open up my mind for me to understand. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Olio Na Adonai. It's true angels still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kakam Na Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your power and through your blood, through your teachings and through your word, me have no doubt that you are my Lord. So I will praise and worship you. Through your teachings and through your book, you shall one of a blessing right on me. Now this worldwide world, no other like you. So I will never, 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 never. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Olion Na Adonai. His two angels still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kakam Na Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Only my real life last year with the joy.
Rastafari.